906. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Joining me is Mike Wiggins. Happy Tuesday.
Hey, happy Tuesday to you. How you doing, Jenna?
Well, you know what? I thought of you this morning when I went outside and thought, ugh, this weather. Right. And then I thought, but you know what Mike would say? We need the rain.
No, we did. It was a great rain. You know, we need this rain at night, on weeknights.
Yeah, not on weekends.
Not on weekends, on weeknights. We need the rain for gardening purposes, obviously, but we need it when it doesn't bother our other stuff that we do. But, Jenna, I got to tell you right now, before we even start, I don't know if it's going to get here or not, but around over, looks like Mississippi, maybe into Alabama, there is a ton of rain out there. I don't know if it's coming our way or not, or if it's going to break up. Be careful out there, folks. If you're driving, be so careful, because even though we need the rain to get things to grow, there's a lot of red on here and a lot of yellow, and we have to be careful with that.
And no poor doubt. Mississippi has just gone through the ringer.
Poor people. Isn't that just amazing? It's just horrible.
We have a lot going on, so we really need to fill our hearts with thankfulness and gratitude and humility and just love today.
Well said, Jenna. That is great. Good for you.
Guess what? You know what you can love today?
Tell me.
I have a national day for you.
What is it? Is it National Armadillo Day or something like that? Whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so it's National Weed Appreciation Day. And before you get too far, I'm not talking about Bob Marley.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the weeds you pull out of your yard, your dollar weed.
You made that up.
You made that up. Did you know, this is according to National Today, National Weed Appreciation Day is March 28th.
What's to appreciate?
Why appreciate weeds,
why?
You ask?
Yeah.
It's because some weeds are actually beneficial for us and our ecosystem. They act as nutritious food and herbs, and some of them even have medicinal value. So take this day and take this opportunity to go out in your yard and get down on all fours.
And eat the dollar weed.
Let's see. Where's Paul? I see it. Okay, Paul's here. Good morning to you. He's the one who wants us to eat the dollar weed.
Exactly.
Little lemon juice, good wash, and there you go.
Hey, it's a good lunch. Good. Anyway.
You say, though, weeds are just, plants in the wrong
place. That's exactly right. Just a weed in the wrong place. And if you want to get rid of them, matter of fact, I've got a few notes on how to get rid of them today, what to do as far as spraying our post-emergence herbicide. We can get to that a little later. But keep in mind, the best thing to do for these weeds is to do everything else right.
That's
we
right.
Water right, we fertilize right, we mow it right. If we have shade, we trim the trees to get more sun in. If you do all of that, that grass is going to get thicker and it's going to get rid of some of the weeds.
All right. Well, guess what?
What?
If you would like to get rid of those weeds on Weed Appreciation Day or have a question about how to get rid of them, just text into the garden line this morning, 9 to 10, 850-437-1620. That's News Radio 92.3's number, 850-437-1620. You can even give us a call. FDT, that's our front desk, Tina, is listening and waiting for you so we can patch you through and you can talk to Mike.
There you go. You know, Jenna, I got to have to tell you, I have a good friend. He and his wife went up to Washington, D.C. this week during the Cherry Blossom Festival.
It's one of my favorites.
It's amazing. I mean, you just look at the pictures of it. It's amazing. But the reason I bring that up is you do know that we can grow blooming cherry trees in Pensacola. And it's really funny. I have to tell you, I did do a little research here, which is unusual. The most popular cherry tree in Washington, D.C., is the Yoshino cherry. The Yoshino cherry is a white, blooming, ornamental cherry tree.
Yoshino.
Konnichiwa. And I went to Japan one time.
I know that.
And in any event, so there are two trees. There are two cherry trees that do well in Pensacola. And they're beautiful. One is the Kwanzan. Okay, let's hear you go with that. Jenna, the Kwanzan.
Yes.
And then the
Yoshino.
The Yoshino, which is the most popular in Washington, also does well here. The Yoshino is a white blooming ornamental cherry tree. And the Kwanzan is, because we're all dressed in pink this morning, is
That's
the
right.
pink one. It's the pink one. And so they both do well here at Pensacola. They're not a huge tree, kind of a not an understory tree by any stretch. They need the sun, but they are a smaller growing tree. Maybe it's about like a crepe myrtle, something on that order, insofar as height is concerned. But if you really are enamored with the cherry trees in Washington, D.C., especially along the tidal basin, where they're just amazing, you may want to plant a Kwanzaa or a Yoshino. Maybe you've moved from Washington to Pensacola and you want a little bit of your hometown here. Plant a cherry tree. We can do it here.
Okay, I like it. They're so pretty. And if you've never gone to Washington, D.C. to experience it yourself in person, I highly recommend it.
Oh, no,
and this is a beautiful time of year anyways to go to our nation's capital. There's so much to do, and you walk around outside. There's foliage. There's everything that you get to experience. So I love it. I love that we can have that, though, here, and that we can learn a new language along the way.
There you go. There you go. When I went to Japan, I would have given anything if I had been able to speak the language, you know, but I couldn't.
Their culture is so amazing to me, and they're so hyper-focused on community and hospitality and just like being there for each other. Like the kids, when they go to school in the morning, this is just a random fact about Japan, they all walk together at the same time. They walk together in a group. Yeah. And they go, all different ages go to school together, kind of like the Montessori type of teaching. And they learn to cook and they learn to garden and they learn all these different things. That it's just beautiful to me.
Exactly. It's really a quick story. I know we're in the garden line here, but this is a quick story. When I went to Japan on a city, kind of a legislative sister city type trip, in any event, when we came back, the kids, they have children come over as exchange students.
Oh, yeah.
And so they had a whole lot of these teenagers coming in. So I had them over to my house. I had a friend of mine who was a cook. I said, I want everything American. I want hamburgers, hot dogs, French fries, milkshakes, all of that. And it's so funny. They were just like teenagers. Oh. And here, the girls were over here. The boys were over here. By the time they got into the hamburgers and the hot dogs, everybody was together having a good time. It was an amazing experience, and what fun.
I think that's really unique, and I love it. In fact, one of our listeners right now, I know she's listening. She loves the Garden Line. She lets me know that she listens every week. They just had their Japanese exchange students arrive on Saturday.
Exactly.
So exactly.
Matter of fact, they're going to City Hall tomorrow. D.C. Reeves, Mayor Reeves, is going to meet and greet them and kind of tell them a little bit about city government. I did that a lot back in the day. So much fun to, because they'll start asking questions. And I used to put them on the dais and make one of them the mayor, give them the gavel.
Oh, I love it.
We had a great time. So if anybody involved in that trip, these kids coming to Pensacola, good job. You know, have a great time. And I know you will, because it's a special time.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is so cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And hey, if you are listening this morning, just tuning in, you're listening to The Garden Line here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr with Mike Wiggins. We have a guest in studio who's not going to be a guest much longer that we would like to introduce. We're going to introduce our friend Tammy coming up here shortly and explain a little bit more. It's 9:15, though, so Mike, we got to take a break. If you'd like to text in, get your questions in. Even though it's raining, we can still talk about gardening. Actually, it's a great day to plan and side our gardening. So what do we have coming up?
And we need to talk about temperature also.
Okay.
About how cool it's going to get. And an observation about some of the plants I've seen at some of the larger garden centers. When we get back, let's chat about that a little bit.
Okay, let's do it. You can text in 850-437-1620.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowing? I come to watch your flowers growing. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Do it and do-do, feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. got no deeds to do, no promises to keep. I'm dappled and drowsy and ready to sleep. Let the morning time drop all its petals on me. Life, I love you, all is groovy.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. And my friend just sent us a text of her guests, the Japanese foreign exchange students. They are looking so cheerful and excited to adventure out here in Pensacola.
Such a good time in Pensacola.
Oh, I know.
No,
they're staying with great people, too. So
no,
I know
about
it.
That.
And we're talking about that because we started talking about
Yoshino,
the Yoshino
and Kwanzaa cherry trees. Right.
And how the big festival is happening in Washington, D.C., obviously,
correct,
right now. And then how we can actually have them grow here. So
there
was a
reason
that we went down that trail, okay?
Exactly.
Everybody just know how our brain works. Before we jump into our conversation, it is about 9:20, so we've got 5 minutes till another break. Let's hop on over to our phone line. Lyle is on the line. Lyle, what's your question for Mike?
Okay. My sister's trees froze, and they're coming back as suckers. The graft froze on them. Is it a good time to regraft them?
No. How big are these trees? How tall?
One of them's small, and the other one's a good size.
Yeah.
But the suckers are all coming out of the bottom. The rest of the tree's dead.
Well, be honest with you, if the rest of the tree is dead, the suckers are of no use whatsoever. Matter of fact, if you have a citrus tree that is trying to recover and you do have some of those suckers coming from the bottom, just cut them off. Cut them right off at ground level. Because that's coming from below the graft. But my advice to you would be, if that tree is dead and you feel confident that it is and all you've got is the suckers, I think I'd dig it all up and start all over. I think that's probably your best path. Just dig it up and go buy you a new one and have at it, because I don't think you're going to make much headway with what you've got. So it's really sad, because so many folks have had such great luck with citrus over the past couple of years, but so many of the trees are either partially frozen back or totally dead. Some made it, depending if you were able to protect them or wherever they were in your yard. But in any event, I think in your case, I think you might have to give it up.
Yeah, because they make nasty fruit.
Oh no, they're not edible. There's not coming off those suckers. No, they're not edible. So yeah, dig it up and start over.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for calling, Lyle. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lyle. Hey, if you'd like to call in this morning to the Garden Line, 850-437-1620 here at News Radio 92.3. Mike is here to answer your questions. Before we get to some questions in our text line, Mike, you wanted to touch on something.
Oh, real quick, looking at the weather, we're going to have a little cooler weather the next couple of days. However, the good news is it looks like it's not going to go below the 50s, maybe mid-50s. That's not a shouldn't be a problem with anything you've planted already. So I think once that cool snap is over, we're going to start moving into April and into the warmer weather. And let's hope, keep our fingers crossed, that there's going to be no more cold weather that would affect our plants. I don't believe there will. Most of us have just kind of rolled the dice and moved ahead. And I went out and put a few tropicals in, a couple of hibiscus and a mandevilla. I saw them. They were so pretty. And so I've planted them in pots, and they're on my patio, and we'll see how they do. But I think as those of us who have kind of waited, kind of held back just because we were concerned about the weather, as we should have been, I think we may be okay moving forward. And one other thing, Jenna, one other quick comment. I do feel kind of sorry for some of the larger garden centers. And I went out to look for my hibiscus because, my goodness, here's a whole bin of hibiscus frozen back about 6 inches.
Ooh.
That's a hard plant to sell. And even when you cut it back, we all know sometimes it can continue to disintegrate. So I feel really sorry for those folks. I know, they can reload, order some more plants, but I just hope that they don't have all the damage That could have happened. Anyway, let's just say I feel bad for some.
Fingers
of those
crossed
folks.
It just comes Fingers back crossed better. Right?
It comes back very well said. Absolutely.
All right. Hey, we've got Lee from Pensacola on the line with a question for you, Mike. Go ahead, Lee.
My question is that I have beautiful Laura petalums in my yard, and one suddenly died, and I replaced it, and the next one grew beautifully and suddenly died. And it's almost overnight, and I was just wondering what might be the problem.
That is a tough question, because quite frankly, Laura petalum are so, so hardy. As a matter of fact, one of my objections to Laura petalum, and it's not really an objection, but observations, is they grow so fast that you have to prune them, every week.
Right.
Not literally, but you know what I mean.
Right.
You really have to prune them.
Close to it.
I would say there's something in the soil there. And I would, number one, I would be sure that no one has sprayed any weed killer near these Laura petalums. I have a feeling you would not do that, but maybe you had a service or somebody that did it and should not have.
Well, it's right on the border between our yard and our neighbor's yard, so I'm not sure what they use.
That's correct.
Lawn,
I mean, if somebody has used a post-emergence or a non-selective weed killer, really almost even a pre-emergence weed killer, sometimes if you get it under the drip line of certain plants, you'll have the same effect you have. I don't think it's the plant. I don't think you've got a fungus or a disease. I think you've got a soil problem or somebody has sprayed weed killer somewhere. That would be my observation.
Okay.
You might ask your neighbor what's going on. And then if they say, oh, no, they haven't done anything, I would really dig a hole to plant a new one and replace a lot of that soil. I mean, the root ball, out of a 3-gallon plant, make that hole twice as big, put in some peat moss, put in some fresh topsoil, mix all that together, and plant the new one and see if that doesn't help. Because what has happened to yours is very unusual. I love that plant. That red color gives a great contrast to the green colors that we have. Is it a dwarf or the taller growing Laura petalum?
No, it's a taller growing one.
Yeah, well, those things will grow overnight. A great plant.
Yeah.
So I would go down that path. I'd have a nice conversation with the neighbor and then redo all that soil when you replant it.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Lee, I appreciate you
Thank
calling.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it.
We are running short on time. So, Mike, we do have questions coming in. I promise to get to those questions in the text line. Thank you again to Lee for calling, as well as Lyle. We will get to those texts at 850-437-1620. Let's take a quick break here on The Garden Line. Welcome back to The Garden Line. We've got 30 seconds. So what do you think? Anne texted in, Mike, okay?
Okay.
And she said she wants to do gardenias and planters and flank the front door, but will bees be a problem?
They could be, because you're going to have all those gardenia blooms.
They'll smell good, though.
They're going to smell great. And I noticed the other day there's one that I have not ever planted before. It's called a frost-free gardenia. Not that the gardenias are susceptible to freezing. They really are not. But this is called a frost-free. It's kind of a new variety, kind of upright growing. But if you're going to plant the basics, gardenia mystery is the best one to plant if you're going to plant a regular growing gardenia. But be careful where you plant it. Full sun usually doesn't work. A little shade might help.
All right. Thanks for that, Mike, and thanks for that. And stay tuned. We will get to your questions here at 850-437.
When you're weary, feeling small.
Okay, Mike, so I promised I would play this song. And I've just introduced you to a new person to add to our Garden Line Spotify playlist, which we do have a Garden Line Spotify playlist. You can find it at The Garden Line, News Radio 92.3.
I know who it is because I just wrote it down.
Yes, you remembered.
Eva Cassidy.
Oh, she's one of the greatest voices of all time. And me and Mike, we like to talk about music here on The Garden Line. We like to share all the good oldies and good newbies.
And I go back a long way.
So we like to exchange these things. And I'm sharing this a little bit, too. I think it's... You know, we go through a lot in this world, right? We've got a lot through. You just had the news break and everything. And we hope that Pep Talk and the Garden Line and our experts that try to bring, you know, tips and tricks and goodness to your life are a nice little reprieve from all of that's going on in the world, right?
You're absolutely well said, Jenna. We enjoy what we're doing here mm-hmm. once a week, and we have some of the greatest listeners in the world who chime in and talk to us via text or phone. And hopefully we can, gardening is the number one hobby in America.
Yes,
the number
it is.
One hobby in America. And if we can add a little bit to your enjoyment with that hobby, it's our pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. And we have a new voice here on News Radio, but will become very soon a very familiar voice. I want to welcome my friend Tammy.
Hi, thank you.
And Tammy, this is your first Garden Line experience.
I'm excited.
And so you've already seen what happens on air, and then mm-hmm. you've seen what happens behind the scenes. So you're like just buckling up
little
bit.
I'm on the roller coaster.
But what happened in 1620 stays in 1620.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Fight Club. It's literally the Fight Club.
Doesn't understand is I have a complete black thumb.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I will kill the plant that's never supposed to be watered and it's supposed to stay alive. It dies.
It won't.
It won't. You're going to help me.
He's going to be my best friend.
I'm excited.
2 years ago, it was no good. I just stayed away from every garden center in America. And now you can't keep me away from the
They're
garden
gorgeous.
Centers.
I'm I just telling need you. Someone to take care of them for me.
Yeah. Well, this
now
is your
children,
guy right here to help you.
The children I keep alive. They're fed. They're doing great.
I guess that's what matters.
That's what matters.
That's actually a good badge to wear.
That's exactly
But
right.
Tammy, you have a history in radio too. So this isn't your first time behind a mic or a board.
Right.
And so it's going to be a really fun adventure. And I guess Mike gets the moment where I get to share that eventually I will be stepping away from this mic full time and stepping into a new adventure with my children as we start homeschooling here very shortly in the summertime and moving towards just a different path. And so,
well, it's difficult to put into words how much we, the audience and myself, will miss you.
Thank you.
But we wish you every success at being homeschooling your kids will be so satisfying for you. We just wish you well.
Absolutely.
You're the greatest.
Thank you. Well, the Garden Line will still be a part of our curriculum, just so you know.
They have to tune in.
They do. It's actually a
call
part
in,
of
and
the...
call in and text in. I want to hear from them.
It is actually a part of like all of the things that they have to earn, and mostly brownie points.
Exactly.
Mostly
Can you have one of your kids call in? Because I think it would be absolutely adorable.
Oh, absolutely.
To hear the little voices.
They have texted in. It's hysterical to see like what they actually text in to the show. And they always, we actually went to a book sale the other day, and they picked out gardening books.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
and they were saying,
them.
Oh, Mike would love this one.
Yeah.
And so we added already some gardening books to our curriculum, and it wasn't an easy choice to make, I will tell you very much so. It was difficult to make that decision, and then to really, I don't know if hunt down or seek out is the correct word, to find a person who would be able to just come right on in and soar. And so we see that in Tammy, and I'm really excited to see everything that you do.
Thank you.
You're going to have a lot of fun, not only here on the Garden Line, but with all of our amazing experts. So I'm sad, but also excited. So it's a bittersweet moment, and I'll be here. I'll be hanging around a little bit as Tammy gets acclimated. And this is a great day, though. We always say, when I first started here, everybody said the Garden Line is a great day to start because the phone lines light up, the texts are crazy. But then nobody ever told me that I would be talking about armadillos riding scooters down Cervantes. So
Nothing prepares you. That always leaves me speechless anyway, but you may want to brief
He's
Tammy.
He's got nothing to say.
I'll tell you
one.
Later. That's in the
There are a couple of
notes.
Topics that have come up on the garden line over the years, and Tammy, we'll brief you on all of that.
I'm excited.
So you can
I'm
be ready.
Ready.
So you can be ready.
Thank you.
That's definitely in the notes. So you'll hear Tammy's voice as we are going throughout today and this week. And I just thank you for tuning in, and thank you so much for texting in this morning. Let's get to a question here. Okay. 850-437-1620. What is better to put in a window box, Mike? Sun patients or petunias? And what are the pros and cons of each of those flowers?
Well, the sun patients are really gorgeous. I mean, we all know what impatiens are, which we've planted in the shade for years in Pensacola. These sun patients are, I say, relatively new over the last years. They are bright, bright colors. And they just would do very well in the sun in a window box. I think that'd be a great idea. Now, petunias would be good. Matter of fact, you can buy cascading petunias that will fall over the edge of the window box and be just absolutely great. As you get into the hot, hot days of July and August, you might have them sort of be affected by the heat. So I'm thinking that your sun patients might be your best bet. Now, they are an annual, and so they're going to be at the mercy of the real, real hot weather to some extent. But
so
of
you
got to
water those more? Or
you got to water them a lot. You okay. really do. But I'll tell you right now, it would be gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. You remember Paul did a landscaping, the old apple yard landscaping, where he used over 300 sun patients. And it was, that's the one that stopped traffic. I mean, people would, the car would stop.
That was a really good scream. I will tell you, though, I mean, that's,
anyway, you know what I mean.
I tried. Hey, I saw Palafox Market the other day. You know I love my markets. And the lady on the corner, and I didn't catch her name, I apologize. Well, there's a bunch of people there. The corner of Palafox and Garden at the very end of the market, okay, by that beautiful mm-hmm. bronze mm-hmm. sculpture, she's selling all of them. Sun patients, petunias. There's something else that looks like a vine coming down with these pink blooms on it. She's got ferns and everything. So if you're looking for somebody and you want to stay local, we have beautiful Baileys.
No question.
Larry. You can go see our friend Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden.
I found a couple of very pretty plants at Werner's the other day. Also,
we love Werner's
down
the street.
They had a nice selection. And, of course, our friend Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden. Yes, there are a lot of places one could go to buy plants. Unfortunately, it's sort of like the grocery store. Inflation has hit the plant market to some extent also. So be very careful about what you buy, that it's good and healthy when you buy it, and that you obviously, and I know anybody listening to the Garden Line doesn't need this comment, that you really take care of it, water, fertilizer, the right plant in the right place, all of that, because it's nowadays very expensive, and you have to get it right the first time.
Absolutely. Hey, it's just shy of 9:45 here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you for texting in this morning. Paul votes no more cool weather. Bring on the heat. Okay, you got to start praying then, Paul. That's it. Hey, is it Trimec or Dimension for post-emergence? Real quick before we take a break.
Trimec, I think, is the best. Dimension is a pretty good pre-emergence.
Okay.
But if you're going to use a post-emergence, Trimec is good. Carfenazone is good. That's another chemical name you might look for. Carfenazone is good because it takes care of Virginia buttonweed. Has a little white blossom.
Yeah.
It's not one of those that you can crawl around and eat, but it's is a weed that needs to be controlled.
Okay.
And carfenazone will do that. But Trimec is a good broad-spectrum post-emergence herbicide.
Okay, excellent. I went ahead and responded and texted in to our friend Janet, Trimec. So if you'd like to text in to the show, ask Mike a question, 850-437-1620. It's 9:45 at News Radio 92.3.
Wide enough, baby. If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter.
There you go. Sing it out. Oh, I love it.
Ain't no valley low enough.
Hey, if we can talk about pantyhose and armadillos, we can talk about anything and we can sing.
We can sing. We play some good music. Was that Tammy Terrell?
Yes, sir. Tammy Terrell.
Singing with
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's probably one of my children's favorite songs ever. Oh, it's you can't help.
I bet they
help.
Take after their mother and dance to it, don't
oh,
they?
Oh, we dance, we sing, we have dance parties every day. It's so good for your
Tammy,
body.
Are you a dancer? Can you go to dance on the air like Shana
does? You're going to dance?
Good. Good.
Well, okay, listen, we, let's see. We've got a question coming in. And I promise to get to it in just a second. It looks like we have a phone call also coming in from Florence. Florence, did you have a question for Mike this morning?
Actually, I would just like to know where I can find the plants that were mentioned earlier.
We've talked about a lot of plants.
The sun patients,
or the loropetalum that the nice lady called about. Are the sun patients? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've found some pretty sun patients at some of the big box stores. Now, our friend Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden, I know he's got them. I think Werner has them, if I'm not mistaken. So most of the garden centers have them nowadays. They're very, very popular because they are so colorful and they do like the full sun. Still, the number one annual, I think, in Pensacola is still impatiens, the regular impatiens that grow in the shade because they're so prolific and they're, you can buy multicolors, single colors, whatever. But these new sun patients have really gained in popularity. So I think most of your garden centers will have them. But be sure you ask for sun patients and don't get the shade patients. That's important.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Excellent. I love it. And you know what? I think it's a great reminder that, you know, we need to get out and add some more beauty into this world. The mayor is getting a phone call. 850-437-1620 is the number here. Can roses be rooted? Is there a way to start cuttings to root? Voice to text, they said.
I would say I would not try that. Because all roses, I say all roses, the regular roses from tea roses and grandifloras and floribundas, all the basic roses that we plant are already grafted on a rootstock that is different from the actual rose on top. That's why when you plant a rose, it's got a kind of a golf ball size little ball there. It's called the bud union. And below the bud union is the graft. Above that is the rose. So by just putting a cutting in is probably not going to work for you. So I would not try that. I would buy a rose that has been grafted that is going to do better because the rootstock that it's grafted on will handle our environment here in Pensacola better than just it being on its own rootstock. Now, knockout roses are on their own rootstock. So that's a different deal. But on your tea roses, which is the most popular, I would not try to root them, no. Now, I would love to hear from somebody who has tried it successfully, but I'm not sure that's the way to go.
Okay, so I've got one more question here, and thank you for texting in, 437-1620. My rubber tree, our friend Phil's texting in this morning. My rubber tree of 12 years is still struggling. It's only got about 3 or 4 leaves on it now, 8 feet tall, though. Any suggestions?
Well, let me tell you one thing. Number one, we've talked about some great people who listen to our show. Phil is one of the best.
He
we
really
appreciate
is.
Him.
Such a faithful listener.
He is faithful and always has some great questions. Now, on the rubber plant, I personally have never had much luck with rubber plant as a house plant, or really even outside. I haven't tried it outside because they do just what Phil is saying. They get leggy. When they start losing foliage, it's hard for that foliage to come back. I think if you're going to grow houseplants and pick a houseplant for either a sunny window or even a place that has low light, I personally would pick another plant other than a rubber plant. Now, for Phil, I would put it outside where it gets semi-shade for the summer. If you have to bump up the size of the pot, I would do that with some good potting soil, a little fertilizer, Miracle-Gro will work, that type of thing. You do all of that, you might see the rubber plant begin to come back. Otherwise, I think I'd choose another plant.
Really? So is, but rubber sounds resilient, though.
It does, but it's not.
Boom. Boom. Okay, roasted. Okay, here's a question coming in. Let's get to this one. I've had some vegetables in my backyard that have never done really well for, I believe, two reasons. One, there are power lines behind my house. And two, the back is on the north, a.k.a. the hot and bright side of the house in the summer. Is there any advice with this?
I don't think the power lines have anything to do with it. I could be totally wrong there, but I don't think they have anything to do with it. But if it's on the side of the house where it gets a lot of sun, that's exactly what you need. I would, once again, I would go to your soil over there. Number one, you get a soil test and see what the lime situation. You may need some limestone, some dolomite limestone mixed into your vegetable garden. You also might need some very low nitrogen fertilizer. A 4-12-12 comes to mind, but a good vegetable plant fertilizer kind of worked into the soil. And thirdly, a little Canadian sphagnum peat moss to add organic material to the soil. Work all of that in, rake it, and if you're in the full sun, I think you're going to do pretty well. I think it will do well if you do those things.
Okay, excellent. All right, so if let me check and make sure that we've got all of our questions covered this morning here on the Garden Line. Let's squeeze in. Let's see if we've got anybody else squeezing anything. 850-437-1620. Oh, somebody said they had a beautiful and awesome giant rubber tree that had gotten leggy but was sprouting new growth all throughout. Then it was zapped by the freeze, but now they see leaves coming out of the root ball area. What do you think that they should do with it?
Oh, wherever it is, and if it's putting on new foliage, I don't think I would do anything with it other than a nice liquid houseplant fertilizer, like once again, like Miracle-Gro. There are a lot of brand names, but that's just one that I think is pretty good. So if it is got zapped by the freeze and is putting on new growth, that is exactly what you want to happen. And keep in mind, on a lot of plants that we had affected by the freeze or by any other problem, when a plant loses its leaves, in many ways that's good because that's the plant kind of healing itself. It's when those leaves stay on there and they're brown and crinkly and they stay on the plant, that's when you've got some problems. So that's one way to look at it.
Okay. I mean, so then are we kind of looking at any other cold weather coming in to knock anything else out, or are we okay?
Well, I've looked ahead about 2 weeks. I don't see anything that even indicates anything that would be a frost or a freeze or even in the 30s. Even in the 40s, I don't see that.
Okay. Now, not even with Easter?
Well, just you took the words out of my mouth.
I'm so sorry.
There's always that little Easter cold snap, but I don't believe that's going to happen. And say we get down into the low 50s, like we're probably going to do this week, I don't think that's really going to affect much of what we've done. You get into the 40s, low 40s, and into the 30s, that could be problematic. But I don't think that's going to happen. You know what we have to do, Jenna? What we haven't done? One, you or I or Tammy, we've got to go down I-10 and check out the pecan trees and see if they've put on foliage.
Oh, you know what?
That's a trip we always take. If you go down I-110 heading north around Maxwell Street, mm-hmm. there's some pecan trees. Mm-hmm. And when they start putting on green, new foliage, the freezes are over.
We're good.
Tammy, we should go check it out.
It never fails us. I need to go take a look at it.
Hey, real quick, speaking of freezes being over, Meyer lemon trees damaged by the freeze. Any hope?
Yes, I think there's hope. All the citrus experts are saying, let it go. I know we're going into April, but let it go all the way into May and just see if by chance it's going to come back. Now, you can do the old scratch test where you get your fingernail and scratch the limbs and just see if they're green. You might be okay. If it's just brown, you might need to start all over. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, it is so sad that so many of the citrus trees that people have really enjoyed over the last couple of seasons were knocked back by that 19 degrees. And, you know, none of the books, will tell you that 20 degrees is about the limit.
Yep. You go, but it was a lot of it.
You know, it was a lot, and it lasted a long time.
Long time. Yep. So just hang on a little bit longer there.
Hang on. What about, you know, cross your fingers and see what happens.
Two more questions real quick. Blueberry bushes, fertilize now?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Fertilize with a good fertilizer for that is an azalea camellia fertilizer. That's a great one because it's an acid-loving fertilizer, and blueberries like acid soil.
Okay, and one more. 17-year Satsuma still looking bad, no leaves. Should I keep on keeping on? From our friend Paula.
Paula, I know it's. It may not work, but I would keep, like Jenna says, I would keep on getting on. Or how did you say it, Jenna?
I don't remember, but maybe just wrap all of your stuff in pantyhose and then just hope for the best. I promise before I leave, we will share the pantyhose story.
I'm so glad you're going to do that. You might as well do the armadillos at the same time.